So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And welcome, everybody. It's the Property Cashflow Show. Today is Wednesday, and with me is Tina Walsh. Tina is the Queen of Compliance. And in today's session, we're going to talk about property sourcing compliance. And the reason why I asked Tina on the show today, not only is because she's an awesome person, because I was having an argument with someone about property sourcing compliance on Facebook. So welcome, Tina. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for the invitation, Dan.
That's all right. Tina's been a client of mine for... since before the universe began, it feels like. An awful long time. Like,
it's actually 10 years this year.
I was going to say, is it actually 10 years?
It will be 10 years, yeah.
That's amazing. And also, I should add that you're a number one bestseller on Amazon, like a proper one as well, not one of those, you know, where you just buy 100.
Pretend one.
Yeah, pretend one. There's quite a lot of those out there, isn't there? But yeah, your book, which I've got an image of somewhere. I don't know how to bring that up. But anyway, so let's talk about property sourcing compliance, because specifically I want to talk around, and I get asked this question quite a few times, by the way, usually on Facebook chat, and it's, I haven't got my compliance sorted out yet. Can I go and still source? And this is how I answer people, first of all, and I use an analogy. And the analogy is, I've got a car, can I drive 100 miles an hour on the motorway? Well, obviously the answer is yes, but it's caught and you're going to get busted for it. And it's exactly the same thing with property sourcing. Wouldn't you agree, Tina?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things people say, can you do it? Yeah, of course you can do it. Is it advisable? No. Is it illegal? Yes.
It is legal. It's like you can do anything. You could, you know, you could literally go and do anything. But it's illegal for some of this stuff. And so there are consequences to everything. So the question was, I'm just starting out in property sourcing and I'm not compliant. It would be good to connect with other investors and so on. And people willing to co-source. And then somebody else jumped on because I said, no, you can't co-source. If you're not compliant, then you're not compliant. And then I use the analogy of the car. And then they come in with their usual, you can co-source. You do not need to be compliant as long as you are not dealing with the transaction of the deal, which is what the compliant deal sourcer will do. What do you think about that?
Rubbish.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So then the next person said, I guess it's up to both sourcers whether they form a partnership and only one side is compliant. But to if they're going to form a partnership, that would have to be literally a limited company.
LLP, limited liability partnership. If what they mean is forming a partnership is an agreement to work together, they're still two individuals. Even if you're a sole trader, you're acting as a business. You don't have to set up limited companies, limited liabilities. You can operate as a sole trader, but you're still operating as a business entity. And I think it's this that people really get confused with, that it's still a business, even if it's just you from your kitchen table. And two people coming together like that are still two individual businesses that both legally should have full compliance in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm going to get on to a solicitor then joined in later, and I'll get to that in a few moments. But somebody else said, I guess it's up to both sources whether they form a partnership and only one side is compliant. However, if any sort of legal claim is made, it's with both sources as you have entered a partnership. And I think there's, like you say, there's confusion over that word partnership. Well, we're joint venture partners, therefore we are equal, and it's absolutely not true. One is compliant, one isn't. So he said, then put, you choose. I know I wouldn't solely take the backlash, hence I would want to ensure everything is done legally and above board. On the other hand, I think it would demonstrate professionalism from the start. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And then the solicitor jumps in, that's not correct. You can source through a compliant sourcer. So then I gave the meme.
The usual Daniel response.
Yeah, you know me and solicitors, we're like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've not told a solicitor to jog on today, so there's my opportunity. So then they asked, how do you say it's not legal to co-source? It's the same as an individual, bring a lawyer, accountant, IFA, a client, the compliant individual carrying out the work and paying the non-compliant individual being compensated in the same way as a marketing fee for introducing a client. But that's absolutely not the case.
No, it's the difference between the then talking about referral fee, which is literally where you're just referring someone for further business for a fee of, say, £200, £300, no further connection. And for me, the referral is like a name and email.
Exactly.
And if you take up that service, then that's a referral fee, Dan, yeah?
But the differentiator there is if you've got, I've got this deal and it's 50 grand and then I send it to someone, I'm now not just an introducer. I'm more acting as a JV partnership because it's a specific deal.
Well, actually, the problem is that, I know you don't like legislation, but in section one of the Estate Agents Act, where it gives the definition of estate agency work, Dan, it actually says introduce and or negotiate. Yeah. So the problem is that just an introduction could be considered to be estate agency work. Mm-hmm. Now, there are exemptions to that in section four, but they're wishy-washy. I know how much you love the law. And it's not exactly clear as to how much work has to be done.
Yeah.
If you wanted an educated guess, and I've been studying this, as you know, for like 9+ years, I'd say if you do anything other than the referral with the name and address and somebody's interested in using your service, if you chat to them in any way, shape or form about if it's an investor, what they want to invest in, what level of service they want, or a seller as to negotiating a little bit on, you know, what they want, then you're doing estate agency work. And the full realm of what compliance is required is there. So, yeah. Yes, there are exemptions, but there's no test case to say what that would be. Mm-hmm. And as it's policed probably in the main for compliance perspectives by HMRC, we all know how flexible they are, don't we? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're running a risk. All you can do is give guidance. Co-sourcing in itself is not illegal. I have co-sourced with sources, and I don't know if they have full compliance in place or not, but I've controlled the cash. Mm. I've controlled the investor. And predominantly where you could fall foul is where the cash is coming from, certainly from HMRC's perspective.
Yeah. So because, and that's from a money laundering perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I can work with a non-compliant sourcer as long as they have the deal, because I can do all the due diligence I need on the deal. If they're not fully compliant, that's not my bag.
But are they not introducing the deal, though?
They are introducing the deal, but the non-compliance aspect is on their side, not mine.
Yeah. I'm fully compliant. So you're safe because you're compliant.
I'm controlling the cash. Where you can have a problem as a sourcer is if the person that you're co-sourcing with controls the cash. Even if you're fully compliant, if they don't do all the due diligence, you could then be dragged into the mire if something dodgy is going on and you don't.
Would be. So I can imagine a situation where I co-source with somebody else, I'm compliant and they're not. They then do a deal with the person I've introduced and then run off into the sunset with the money. Then when it's looked at through the whoever would be looking at this, the courts, I'm guessing, then they would look at that and go, well, actually, you introduced it, you're on the hook for it, equally to this person.
Yeah. You know, the Act says introduce and or negotiate. It doesn't say you've got to handle the transaction. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It says introduce and or negotiate. Now, at what level you can take that to, you could argue until the cows come home, until there's a test case, we don't know. So it's an educated guess. But from, you know, a perspective of you want a source, you don't have the money to be compliant. Let's be sensible about it. It's going to cost you for your insurance, your registrations, a bit of training and your documents, about £1,600 to do it, which isn't huge amounts of cash. Mm. Just wait until you've got the cash to do it. Because if you co-source with someone and you're not compliant, I'm telling you now, and I've checked it with insurance brokers, and I've checked it with Information Commissioner's Office, with HMRC and with the Ombudsman, and the line in the sand is this. If you are not employed, as HMRC define employed, that is, they are registered with HMRC as being an employer. They have the PAYE account set up for payments for employees. You have a contract in place. They contribute to taxing your national insurance and whatever
pension contributions too.
If that isn't in place, then you are not an employee of that company, regardless of whether they're compliant or not, makes not a jot of difference.
Yeah.
In that case, then their insurance and their registrations will not cover you because your insurance covers the company named and any of its employees. So if they're a sole trader, it covers them and anyone that's employed by them. If they're a limited company or an LLP, it covers the company name and anyone employed. It does not cover you even as a subcontractor. Because what a subcontractor is just another individual company that agrees to do something with you, but then invoices the company for their fee.
Yeah.
So you're invoicing as a company.
A good way of looking at this, Yeah, a good way of looking at this again is using the car insurance analogy. So if you own a limited company and I sign a JV agreement with you and I get in that car because I'm in a JV partnership with you, and then I crash the car, I'm not insured. No. The insurance company simply wouldn't cover me. I'm not insured, and I never was insured. If I get pulled over by the police, I'm not insured, and I'd get points on my license and whatever else. So it's that analogy kind of continues all the way through. So then let me read the next bit then. So Bember said, you would just subcontract yourself into an agreement with a compliant company that says they need to pay you X amount on X terms. But that's effectively a separate company. That's just a contract for services. That's all that is.
Like saying you're crowdsourcing on a subcontracting agreement, but you're still crowdsourcing. Just because you change the wording and the way that you're setting it up doesn't alter the fact that you're still co-sourcing.
Yeah. I think
I think there's a lot of confusion because people want it to be the case that they can operate without having all the compliance in place. Yeah. But it's not saying there are two estate agents. One can afford the compliance and one can't. Can the one run on the others? No, not unless they're employed.
Yeah,
and it's the same with any business. No solicitors could do it. No accountants could do it. It's how insurance works. It's how the registrations work.
So another analogy is if I'm a surgeon and you run a surgery company, and you subcontract me and I try and come under your insurance, I'm still not insured because I'm not employed by your business.
No.
And the risks have not been assessed by the insurance company. What worries me on this is people giving advice who are in a position of authority, like solicitors, for example, who then actually, because they're a solicitor, well, I know everything legal. I've taken solicitors to court and won, by the way. And I quite enjoy that. And they say things like, well, I'm a solicitor, you're just a nobody, you're going to lose. Why are you taking me to court? I'm going to sue you. Well, we'll see. And we go to court and they lose, in particular tenants who happen to be solicitors. And I don't rent to tenants anymore who are solicitors, as you full well know, because they're knobs, quite frankly. And they try and bully you because they think they know the law. And we've had to take one to court, and that's the one that we actually won because he thought he didn't have to pay rent. It's just bizarre. But because for a solicitor, and also police officers, and obviously you're an ex-police officer, but I don't rent to them either for exactly the same reasons. Just to ruffle people's feathers, really. So it kind of winds me up that people in authority are suggesting these things, and especially on a forum like Facebook, and it's like, and I said to them, are you going to protect them then if they get caught by whoever it is that's going to catch them, if a deal goes sour for giving legal advice? Your insurance wouldn't cover you for that. It's just bizarre. It bothers me a great deal. And I agree with you. You know, £1,600 for a lot of people is a lot of money, and I get that. And my issue is these trainers, and obviously I sell property sourcing training, the link's down below, £27. But when we talk about compliance, we tell them how hard it is. And in fact, on that link, it even tells you, property sourcing is not a get rich quick. You do need to be compliant. There are rules and regulations that you have to follow, and you have to be compliant in order to start doing it. And obviously we saw thousands of copies of that. And I wonder how many of those people actually then become compliant, because I bet most people don't. They try and operate on this level where they're just trying to get away with it until they can earn some cash.
It's because it's the easy option, isn't it, Dan? And you know, the easy option isn't always the best option. But all we can do is say it as it is. And what I say to people is, look, you can say this is Tina's opinion, but it's Tina's opinion from having worked with National Trading Standards, having worked with the Ombudsman, having spoken to the ICO, HMRC, both Ombudsman and experienced insurance brokers. And I've actually posted the responses back into my Facebook group that have come through. And the answer is no. You can't do it unless you are an employee, and that does not mean subcontracting. It's like running a building site, isn't it, Dan, with refurb, and you controlling it and then subcontracting. It's still subcontracting to someone's company. And just because you're an individual as a sourcer doesn't not make you running as a business. It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference at all. But, hey, if you want to go off and do it, do it. But the average at the moment from HMRC is just over £7,000. So, you know, that pales into significance, the £1,600. Pounds to get compliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just seeing if we've got your link down below. Yes, we have. So if you want to join Tina's group, it's on the link down below. You've got like 6,800 people in there, I think.
Yeah, we're trying to push it to 7,000. So that'll be amazing. A nice 7,000. We've done it organically over 18 years, as you know. But there's tons of free information in there. You can ask any questions that you want. Don't just believe me. Go off and damn well research it. Don't just believe anyone. Research it.
And again, that's the issue, because you see certain gurus, furus more like, and they're, oh, no, you don't need to be compliant. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, no, you don't need to be compliant. It's fine. It's just a load of rubbish. And it's like, have they actually gone into the compliance and what's required? Have they spoken to HMRC and the ICO and the PRS and all these other people, so that they actually fully understand it? And obviously the answer is no. They're just kind of guessing and hoping. And again, it's that issue that I have with this, is that people in authority positions are providing this advice. And I would be like, it's like the anti-masker. I would be like, well, just wear a mask. Well, I don't see why I should. Well, to protect other people. And, well, it doesn't work. Well, it does work. The science is there. Well, I'm going to take the risk and go off on my own science, because, you know, despite not having any scientific qualifications, I feel that they do. It's like, why don't you just wear it? Shut the fuck up and just join in and do what we do. And then everybody would be out of lockdown. If on compliance you're not sure, why not just be compliant just to be absolutely safe? Because if you get this wrong, anti-mask, you're dead. Or compliance, you've got a massive fine. Just do it.
No, you wouldn't work with a solicitor who didn't, one, have the qualifications, and two, exactly, have protection to protect you if something went wrong, and they have to have it in place. So, you know, we are a professional business. We're considered to be estate agents.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, yeah, solicitors know stuff about their particular niche topic, but as you said, they don't know something about everything, although yeah, they like to think maybe they do sometimes. Yeah. Because, you know, I know a lot about sourcing and compliance. I don't know absolutely everything, and I learn every day, and I'm still learning, but I know a hell of a lot, because it's what I love, it's what I focus on, it's what I've studied for over 9 years. Mm-hmm. So my comment is always, you follow somebody else if that's what you want, but at the end of the day, would they pay you fine if they're wrong?
I always think on stuff like this. If you're going to become a property sourcing agent, a full-time property sourcer, why would you not go out and do this properly? And the analogy I like to use is, you know, I went scuba diving once, and I had all the gear on and my fins, and then I put my toe in the water, and then I said, oh, no, it's not for me. And that's what property sourcers are doing. They're literally dipping a toe in the water, and all you get is a wet toe. You've not actually experienced the, you know, free diving or whatever it is, or scuba diving, even though you've got all the gear. You have to go through the entire process. And if this is going to be your new career, commit to it, sign up on everything, join Tina's group, get the training, get everything, and literally immerse yourself. That's why I use that analogy, because you have to immerse yourself within property sourcing. And one of the things you learn very early on as a property sourcer is that most people are full of shit. right? So, like, most people haven't got a clue, they're not compliant, they're literally winging it, they've got no experience. And not having any experience isn't a bad thing, but pretending they've got experience when they haven't, and saying, well, no, it works like this when it doesn't, it really bothers me, as you can tell.
And you and I both know that you don't have to spend $3,000, $5,000, $7,000 to learn how to source property. It's not science, is it? You know, with your £27 course and mine that are, you know, really dirt cheap for what you get, you know, I still stand that you can understand exactly what you need to do and still be only around the £1,700 mark, yeah, without having to pay $3,000, $5,000, $7,000 to someone to sell you a course that doesn't, yeah, give you everything that you need, and certainly doesn't teach you all the compliance that you need. Nowhere, yeah, near. In fact, a lot of them set you up for a fall, because they tell you to get registrations and insurance, but don't tell you that you're signing up for supervision and what you're being supervised for.
Exactly.
So head above the damn parapet, you're in more danger than operating without, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So what have you got coming up next, then? I know you've been busy. I'm sure some of this is top secret, but you've been busy with training courses and that kind of thing. What sort of new stuff have you got coming through in order to help people?
Well, it's new to everybody out there, because we haven't really talked about it, because for 4 years now, I've been working on developing, as you know, the Professional Association for Sourcing Agents. It now has a name. It's the National Association of Professional Sourcing Agents, or to save you when you've had a few glasses of wine, NAPSA.
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted NASA, damn, but I couldn't have it.
I've got a comment. You're going to like this comment. Here we go. Why should I listen to you? No one else is. Thank you, Joshua. If Joshua's in a group, thank you so much for that. That's such a constructive piece of equipment. He's on YouTube anyway, so I don't know who he is. But the fact that you're on, Joshua, shows that other people will be later, doesn't it, really? And we've got hundreds of thousands of downloads on our podcast. And if you've not downloaded the podcast yet, then you should certainly join us. It's at daniellatter.co.uk/iTunes. Now, I actually should have a banner for that. I'm just looking through, and I haven't, so I'm going to add a banner for that. Excellent. So it sounds like you guys are really busy on compliance. How's the pandemic affected you for the last 12 months, would you say?
Sourcing, I have to say it's been difficult because, as you know, Tony and I like to view all of our properties, which makes it incredibly difficult at the moment. And whilst you can do remote viewings, it doesn't give you that sense of what you really need for the level for providing the information for the investors. We only source part-time for our fully onboarded investors. And at the moment, when the pandemic hit, they already had projects on board that they were refurbing. And that's kind of slowed that down considerably. Yeah. So they're concentrating on that. And I think at the minute, they're waiting for sort of autumn to come to see if we get back to some sort of normality. At the moment, prices in our area are through the roof.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we're not supposed to be going out driving and delivering leaflets, although that's not exactly what you hear on some of the Facebook groups with sort of driving here.
State there agency services is allowed, and so they think that means leaflet drops are okay. Yeah. And I honestly just don't know, because if you're a food company, you know, pizza delivery company, the way that you generate leads is dropping leaflets. I'm kind of black and white as to how allowable that is, really.
Our investors are sort of on hold, so we don't operate as most sources do anyway. We're not constantly doing it. We only do that to order. So we're quite chilled about it. It's allowed us to focus on the other side, which is the NAPSA side, and moving a lot of training online and creating, more online training courses going forward. So we had this idea to do sort of in 18 months. We kind of just brought it forward with COVID. So we've just changed our business plan, if you like, and we've moved a section of it forward from where it was just to replace what we can't do at the moment. We're still in touch with our investors and we will move that forward again, but we only ever work with three or four anyway. We love doing it, but it's not a full-time job for us, isn't sourcing, Dan?
Absolutely. So, Joshua, thank you for that. You're so professional. I think there was sarcasm in there. But thank you, Joshua. It's much appreciated.
He's a Yorkshireman, Dan.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. People find us from all sorts of places. We don't really care. So the other thing I was going to ask you was it about the pandemic specifically? Was it about leaflet drops? I can't remember. I think it was about the pandemic. Oh, no, I know what it was. It was about, like, I get asked, you know, what should I do next? What is the next thing for me to do? What happens when we come out of a pandemic? And for me, I feel it should be like a catapult being pulled backwards, ready to, when we get out of a pandemic, then you release it and you fire forward, you know, full blast. And in order for people to do that as property sources, I do think that they need to get all of their things in place so that when we come out of a pandemic, the website's in place, the compliance is in place, the leaflets are designed and they're printed, you've got 50,000 leaflets sat in your garage ready for when this thing can take off. Because I think what will happen is, I think there will be a slow transition to coming out of a pandemic for the next 5 years, quite honestly. I think in 3 or 4 years, we're still wearing masks, really. Maybe not to the extent that we are now. I think people can still co-mingle and so on, but I think this is going to come out slow. But in the meantime, the money is going to hit the table and we're back to the roaring 20s, if you like we were back in the 20s in the 20th century. And I think you've got to be prepared and ready for when that happens and getting the compliance in place now, getting a website, getting the leaflets done, so that when it releases, off we go. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, get all your ducks in a row is what we say.
Yeah.
You know, be absolutely ready for when that we open up, that you're ready to go. Because if you're not ready and you're behind the schedule, you'll miss it. You'll miss a time. And as you said, the investors are sitting there and they're waiting to invest. They're just waiting for the right time to come back on board.
Yeah.
Whether that's sort of like autumn time. There are some that are still investing, but ours are certainly waiting till about the autumn when they feel that it's right for them. And I can see a lot of others doing that. So as a sourcing agent, if you want to be there, you've got to have built these relationships. So I'd suggest strongly that you start doing that with your investors now. Talk about the area that you're on. Even if you've never done a deal, it doesn't matter. You can assess it if you bought for yourself. This is what about let goes for. This is what you can buy it for. This is how much rent you can get. This is a group deal. Is anybody interested in having a chat with me about this going forward? Build those relationships, get them built, get your compliance in place, get your leaflets and ideas about what your marketing is going to be there and ready, and get your presence ready for going out onto your patch. You've already then got your investors and you're ready to rock and roll and put the money in the bank account.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just laughing because Joshua's back. He's got some thoughts on that. Wrong. Thanks, Joshua. So the other thing I was going to say was, because we're talking about being compliant or not as a co-sourcer, and obviously you have to be compliant. We've established that quite clearly, I think, right at the start of the show. But the other thing, I was going to say about that is that you should also be building those relationships so that although you're not compliant now, you should be building co-sourcing relationships now. You can still do that. You just can't introduce. Then when your compliance hits, then you can introduce. And it's about starting that now so that in 3 months, let's say, we come out of lockdown and everything's kind of back to normal-ish, although I don't think that'll ever happen. But at that point, then you've got all these people lined up to do deal after deal after deal, because it does take time from when you're actually doing this to actually, you know, getting the thing up and running and getting it out the door.
It's that know, like, trust, isn't it? And in my Facebook group, at the top of the page, there's a link where everybody can say what area they source in. London's top at the moment, but Northwest is second. And if you come into the group, you can have a look and see who's in your area. And I encourage them to start coffee meets. Talk to each other. What investors you got on board? What they're looking at? You know, you might have a deal that they can't find that then you can co-source when you're compliant. Yeah. But as you say, it's important to build those relationships now. And then when we come out of it, form your own relationships in your own area with sourcers. The more sourcers that work together, the more deals you can do. Because it's really difficult to do many on your own because you restrict how much time you've got. If you've got the buyer and they've got the deals, when you're compliant, absolutely co-source. Share the fee. Be fair about it. That way you'll get more deals over the line.
And it's just about building those relationships, because the relationships that you work on building now can be relationships that last just for 10 years, like ours. Yeah. You know, we've known each other for...
Despite the fact I'm a retired cop and I'm not from Yorkshire.
Well, you know, we let some things slide if we like people. Yeah. Generally. You're one of a few. We don't like people. So, excellent. Okay, so I think we've pretty much covered everything there. And... every so often, I see other people commenting, and I'm like, oh, is that correct? And then I come back to you, and you go, no, it's not correct. I'm like, okay, great, okay. Because from my point of view, you are the authority. Not only have you read the book, and you've got the biggest Facebook group about compliance, you're the person who was right at the very start, 8 to 10 years ago, going, hang on a minute, people aren't compliant. We need to, you know, we need to plug this gap. Because if not, people are either going to get fined heavy or we're going to do jail time. And that's the last thing. But, you know, property sources are out there to make money to put food on the table for a family. That's the last thing we want, is for them to get themselves into trouble because they're not aware of the compliance regulations. I think we've done that in the last half hour. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're live again on Friday, and we're in the Mindset and Hustle Show. Come join us about 12 noon and we'll speak to you then. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.